Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
So, how are you?
Well, I'm really good, actually. I'm currently sitting in a tiny little studio at the Heart offices in Leicester Square. I've just come off air. I've done a little bit of stuff for the Facebook page filming, and now I'm here and I'm stuffing down my lunch, eating some biscuits and chatting to you, my favourite person. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm actually so jealous seeing your videos, being dressed up and going into work every day. I miss it. I miss that life. I miss it. I mean, I've not done it now for, I mean, how, I don't know, when I went on maternity leave from my job.
May last year.
And I used to love that, getting up, getting on the tube, listening to a podcast.
Yeah. Do you know what? It has been really, really lovely. Like my first day on Monday, I felt like I was like, a scene out of Sex and the City, like Sarah Jessica Parker, like trotting across the bridge. Then, of course, I got my heel stuck and ripped it.
Yeah.
So that was hilarious. I spilled coffee down myself the last two mornings.
Okay.
So, I mean, it looks quite glamorous, but in actual fact, it's a bit of a joke. I'm not used to walking in heels, and there are some really clever women who pack trainers in their bags and switch them up. And I just haven't done that because I'm like, no, I'm going to spend the whole day in heels. And when I get home, Doz is like, what is up with your feet? I'm like, those are blisters. But I have loved every second of it. And I've got a whole summer of this. So you're going to see more outfits and more broken heels.
And more broken feet by the sounds of it.
Oh, God. And we had such a win in the house last night.
Did you use the grow clock? Yes. So what happened? Because you used to use a grow clock, didn't you?
Yeah.
You did. And then what, Luna was just not into it anymore.
I think she was too young. And when I said we used to use it, I think we started too early. She was only like, what, two and a half? I don't think she really understood it. Well, she didn't.
Yeah.
One night I could just hear her like launching it across the room and it just hit the front of the wall. I was like, oh, this isn't going very well. But last night we talked her through it. Her and Isla set it up together. We were talking about the stars and the moon. And then I was saying, you know, you need to stay in your bed and wait for the sun to come up. I actually think I set it a little bit late because she said that she woke up ages ago, but she just lay there and she came in at
24.
I set it for 6:30. So tomorrow morning, I'm going to set it for a little bit earlier but she was so pleased with herself, Georgia.
That's so good. That's, do you know what? Axel has a grow clock. We don't always use it. But if he sees the sun come up on it, he's like, buzzing with his life, like I'm just thinking in my head, yeah, like that's just really what you should be doing every day. But anyway, let's just you can have it. Well done, Axel.
Yeah, I know, but it's the little sense of achievement, because if you have got a child that's not a big sleeper, you know, and they're not that we're bollocking her every morning, but we are quite like, you woke us up four times, why, you know, there's a bit of that going on. And she's only three. What does she know? Like, it's not.
Yeah, no, I know, totally. It's sleep is, oh, God.
Well, how many messages have we had?
Hard. I know. Why don't they just sleep? Like, I don't understand. Do you think, like, horses have the same problem with their foals?
Like, having a chat by the trough. Like,
yeah. Do you think, like, didn't sleep last night, galloping around. Like, do you think that happens? Or is it just us? Like,
I reckon it happens across the board too. I reckon it must do, because they're just any form of offspring and just really unpredictable. You just don't know what's coming. And that's the thing. And I think that's why I said this morning, when I jumped back on to say thank you for all your messages, but also I'm really sorry if you're still in the 4:30, 5:30 club, because we might be back there next week. We might be back there tomorrow morning. And I think that's why it's so hard, isn't it? Because you make a little breakthrough and you have to celebrate the win, but then everything just gets fucked up again.
Yeah, no, I know. That's the thing. You've got to celebrate the wins, and you've got to enjoy all of that, you know, all of that time when it's going well.
Now, how's your life over there? Tell me your news.
How's life? It's fine. I briefly mentioned this in our chat, but Axel has his school induction next week, which is so weird. So there's like been lots of ordering uniform and all of that kind of stuff and talking to him about it. But actually, I'm going to change tack now, because I think he's getting bored of talking about it.
Oh, is he? Yeah.
And he's literally looking at me like, what? Just like, shut up. I've basically completed school now, because you've talked me through every single element of it.
Are you worried?
No, I was a little bit worried, because he's obviously so young. Like, his birthday's on the 13th of August, and he starts the beginning of September, so he's just 4. So he'll probably be the youngest in the year. Mm. But then, I don't know, like, I've spoken to a couple of other mums that are in the same class, and we've met up with some of the kids, and actually I don't really see a difference. So,
yeah, no,
I think it'll be fine. It's just weird, isn't it? It's like selfish, it's selfish things. Like, I think for like, as soon as they start school, it's like, you can't just go off on holiday, or I know we can't really, you know, do that so much at the moment, but you used to be able to just decide you could go on holiday, you know, middle of the term. Yeah. And just, I don't know, little things like, yeah, just homework and remembering the book bag and, oh God, all of that kind of stuff. It's come around really quick, because it is quick, because it has, you know, it has been a short amount of time in comparison. Yeah. So like, you've got a whole nother year, but our kids are only a few weeks apart. So it has, you know,
you say that, and absolutely. But Luna's going to be starting preschool in September, and she's going 4.5 days a week. So I had to order her uniform yesterday. She's got a little uniform for her preschool. Oh. It's exactly the same time. Like, it's 8:15 until 3:15, I think it is. And like, you know, it feels like she's starting. It's like, it's going to be slightly different when she gets there. But like, I felt quite sad the other night, because...
Did you?
Yeah, I just got this pang of her not being around. And because I work at the weekends...
Oh, yeah, of course.
When am I going to see her? What, on a Friday afternoon? And that's like breaking my heart at the moment. I'm really going through it. So I don't know how long I can carry on working at the weekends more, because I want to see my kids, you know. But anyway, that is a separate conversation for another time.
It is, absolutely.
It's all different. It's all change. And I think, yeah, we're not very good at change.
No. And I think it's always, as the summer approaches, you know, the change is going to happen. And I think it's going to be like that, you know, for parents, particularly for years, because every September is like a new start, isn't it?
Yeah. And so, somebody that's been talking, well, we talked to her, we actually grabbed her yesterday, didn't we, for this episode. And she was kind of talking about the fact that her youngest, River, is going to be starting school. And yeah, I mean, it
she's
was an
done
amazing
it.
Yeah, chat,
it was a great chat. And she's done this multiple times before, but still has all of the same feelings that we do about starting school, which is kind of, I think that's quite nice to hear, that every single child, it still feels like a new, you know, a new process and a new thing.
Yeah, and still the worries come up, and still feeling anxious about a few things. But yeah, we are really over the moon to be chatting to Jules Oliver again on this week's podcast, because she's been on the podcast before. She was, in fact, one of our very first guests about two years ago. We chatted to her about travel. This week's chat is much more of a broad look at her life as a mother, and, you know, all the separate different kind of personality traits with her kids, how she feels about raising the boys and the girls, her relationship with Jamie. She obviously talked us through the time that she met him, but we got an exclusive, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We'll let you listen to it, but you're either gonna think, oh my gosh, that's so soppy and ridiculous, or your heart is gonna melt.
If there's
some men listening, or some tough women listening, then yeah, they'll be like, oh, that is so soppy. But you know, like us, like, we both melted, didn't we?
Yeah, so. We melted. And also some sad news in there as well. We'll let her tell you that. But overall, it was a wonderful chat with a wonderful woman. So we should get into it. Today's guest is
Jules Oliver.
No swearing now.
Well, you can swear.
No,
you can swear. This is the perfect way to start the podcast because today's guest has just said to us, right, that's it, no swearing. And I said, no, you can swear. So I'm really hoping it does today. This is the second time for this wonderful lady to come on to the podcast. We're absolutely over the moon. Mum to five. She is married to one of the most well-known chefs in the country, a children's wear designer in her own right. Today's guest is a very lovely Jules Oliver. Welcome back.
Yay! It's so nice to have you back because when you came on before, we'd literally just started the podcast.
Yeah, I remember. I know. And I was so, you were my first podcast and it was all so weird in that room with the ears and it was all so weird. So it's nice actually. It's quite nice that I'm in my dressing room on the floor with the door shut hiding. So that's quite nice.
Yeah. That's the best place to hide as a mum. Like you literally find anywhere that you can and just go low. Yeah. You know,
yeah, I'm actually so low. Maybe it's because I'm scared of technology, but my head's in the computer. But no one's going to find me. It's fine.
How's lockdown been for you? How are you in the family? How are the kids? Tell us.
Yeah, the kids are good. I quite like lockdown because we were all together. I hated what it was all about, and I spent a lot of time crying and laughing and being slightly hysterical about everything. But as it kind of time went on, I really enjoyed it because I knew that I had that time with Poppy, which I never thought I'd have before she went to university. So I felt really blessed on that side. Mm-hmm. But I've just hated everything else about the whole thing. I found the whole thing quite horrific, and I still do. I still find it really hard to kind of be normal. But I suppose in time that will change, I hope.
Yeah, it will come. So who's found it the hardest out of all of your children?
Oh my God,
like
Daisy.
Staying at home.
Daisy, number two. Yeah, she did really well. She managed 8 weeks with us like it was a trial. And she kind of just paced the hallways at midnight on FaceTime or house party, and that's how she got through it. But as soon as we were allowed to see one person, she was gone. She was back up seeing
Daisy's
friends.
Daisy's 17, isn't she? So yeah, she's at that age where it's quite hard for her, and obviously like seeing friends and everything, that's kind of her life, isn't it?
Completely. And she's really social. So she really struggled. But, you know, there were some fun times, a couple of board games and a couple of, glasses of wine that we let her have, and she was loving it. So it was still pleasant with her as well.
What do the Olivers do in lockdown? Like what does a day look like for you? I imagine you definitely kind of sitting around playing board games, bit of cards, glass of red wine, and just it's lucky for everyone. Jamie comes in. Is that
no? So the main focus is definitely food. It's also watching her breakfast, food, lots of eating, loads of arguing, loads of laughing, and just loads of outside stuff. But nothing, and then the occasional board game. I suppose in like 3 months we played two games, but you keep talking about it. She'll do that tonight and then no one does it. Everyone just goes to their rooms on their phone and everyone just goes on Instagram and then it's time for bed. So it's kind of, the idea was there, but thank God the weather was nice. We were outside having barbecues and it was all around food, as you can imagine. It's just cliche, but it was.
And you were saying as well how lovely it was to have Jamie there in the evenings, because obviously there was the restaurants closed and he's around. So even though, does he do bath time? Does he get involved?
Yeah, he loves it. He's a real, he'll do it. If I say, oh, Jamie, I just feel so tired, I just have to do that kind of, it's not fake, dare I say it, if you ever listen to this, you probably won't. But he just goes, no, I bet I'm on it. And I think, yeah, you go, off you go. So he does bath in the morning. He'll do anything I ask as long as he's not working. So I am actually really lucky. So he did loads of stuff for me while lockdown was on.
Oh, and you've got River starting school in September, the same as Axel. And obviously you've been through this quite a few times before. So have you got any tips for us?
Crikey. No, do you know, the funny thing is it's like all over again for me. I hate to be boring, but I don't think I have, because the WhatsApp's just started for our class. And I'm thinking, oh, it starts all over again. And do we make play dates? And I just feel like I'm being transported back 15 years and nothing's really changed. I mean, every time the first day is always very emotional. Maybe on this one, I'll just be like, see you, bye. And then I might run so fast. But I don't know, there are no tips really. I just think it's different for every child as well. Since two of my children hated it, one of them really loved it. So it just have to go with the flow.
How do you think he's going to get on, Jules?
I don't know. He's a funny little boy. I don't know. I really don't know. He really loves girls. He doesn't really like boys, as in boys playing with boys. And he's going to an all-boys school, which is a bit worrying. And he dresses up. He wears a dress every day. I'm not revealing anything. I just think that he's the most different. I've never met a child like him. So he's theatrical, interesting, totally like a little girl. And it's so funny because him and Bud get on really well. But it's just, Bud is a real boy and he's like kind of a real little girl, but a boy. So I don't know. I have no idea. I just hope they have frozen dresses in the dress up box in an all boys school, or we really might have to move in. He's just a character.
And has he been at nursery, or is this sort of his first time in sort of like a setting with lots of other kids?
Yeah, he went to, do you know Forest School? That school, it's all outside in the forest.
Yeah.
He went to Forest School and he loved it actually. He was kind of, I barely used to send him because I quite liked him being around, and I thought, oh no, I won't bother. So he kind of went two mornings a week and he did quite like it. He got stuck in. It was a real muddy, you know, messy play, which he quite enjoyed. So he does know how, he's quite okay with Leave Me, and he's really good with other people. So we'll just see. I don't know about Axel, but you know, you just don't know. It could go either way. And I'm so worried. I just want him to really enjoy it so I can just relax.
It feels like a lot of pressure,
like
to get it right. We were just saying before, like we've both spoken to them about it so much that they're almost over it now. They're like, yeah, okay, fine, whatever, at school. I don't want to go anymore.
I think they sense, they're so bloody clever. I think they sense like mum's really excited. I don't really want to do this. And I just know, because I can see, I think I have to muster reverse psychology. I must just go. So now I showed him the uniform. He doesn't like it. And I thought, right, I'm putting it away. I'm not going to worry about it because it's, you know, good 6 weeks to go.
Yeah,
I'll just make
him
put it on and I will just take him on day one, and if he's screaming, I'll leave him there with the teacher and she can deal with it. So it's gonna be fine. It's fine.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is obviously your fifth and maybe final child, because last time you came on the podcast you were saying to us that you were contemplating / you were like, you really wanted to go for a sixth
child. I really do, but you know, I've just had three miscarriages since then, and I'm just thinking, I know, and you know, recent one like 3 weeks ago, and I'm thinking, no, I don't know. I do want to, but I've got to just mentally check that it's a good idea to do it. And also physically, because I am 45, as I always say. Yes, yeah. I'm nearly 46, so it's a little bit dodgy. But, you know, he's kind of still up for it, kind of, not really. So I think I haven't got long, maybe another year, and then I really will just, I'll shut that chapter off, because I am very happy, and I'm pretty full up at the moment as it is. But just that little baby, it's a terrible thing to keep wanting something, but you can't help it. I assume it will stop.
You've just spoken quite kind of freely about the fact that you've had your miscarriages, but how has that been for you? Because I haven't heard you talk about it before, so it must have
been something
great for you, Jamie. Yeah.
Well, I went to see the doctor actually the other day, and he said, he doing all the chit-chat, and he went, how are you mentally? And I thought, well, you know, this is the fifth one now. Kind of two before River, and three. So I just think, well, no, because they're quite, and they're early ones. There are six so far. They've been 6.5 weeks. The last two were. So I just feel I didn't really get a chance. I'm really good at going, right, I'm pregnant, but it won't work. So I'm just going to carry on. Whereas everyone gets really into it, but I really have learned to not, because I kind of am not very positive about it. So I feel okay because I also feel I'm so lucky. I mean, had this been my, if I was trying for number one, I don't know how women do it and keep doing it. I think they're so incredible. And I think I would keep doing it if I really, but you know, I just feel like actually I have got five. So shut up and, you know, onto the school run. It is hard. I'm sure it affects you mentally, and I'm sure maybe down the line I might have to address it. But at the moment, I feel okay about it. And I think it's really important to talk about it, because it's weird if you don't. It just doesn't make sense if you just keep it quiet. So just say it anyway.
Yeah, George and I, we really agree with that, don't we? That it's one of those things that you have to keep such a secret when you're pregnant. You're not supposed to tell people for your 12 weeks. And then, God forbid, you have a miscarriage. Who do you turn to when you need the support?
Yeah, exactly. And you kind of end up just saying it anyway. So you spend the whole time being quiet. Then you go, oh, by the way, I end up kind of WhatsApping about 10 friends, thinking, God, I wouldn't have said it otherwise. But I just feel I have to say it now, because I can't go out to the pub tonight because this has happened. And it just feels better to say it and then move on. Otherwise, it's a massive thing in your life that you keep quiet from your best friends or your family is a bit weird. So.
And so, but you've said, obviously, you've had quite a few miscarriages. Did you get to the stage where you stopped telling people that you were pregnant, or have you just carried on?
No, I did, because I thought, no, and also my age, I know, and also people, you know, people's funny views, like you've got five, so therefore you shouldn't be really trying. You know, you get all sorts of, there's all sorts of things thrown at you. And also family, you've had, I did have a pretty dangerous one, I think it's the second one, which was really dangerous for myself. So my family don't want me to do it again, because I think, like, you don't need to do it again, you've got five, they're, you know, you've got healthy children, just be grateful. I know they doesn't say it like that, but that's what they mean. I understand, because my life is more important. But so I kind of sometimes may not tell the sisters, because I don't want to hurt their feeling, normally, because I'd rather just say it 3 months, ta-da, but you know, I haven't quite got there yet, but I'd rather just not say, because I know they'd be worried about me, and that's not what I want to stress, especially during lockdown. Telling my mum would have, well, especially as I couldn't see her, it would have really upset her. So I just kept that quiet. And she knows now, but, you know, at the time I didn't tell her.
What do you think it is about having a big family that you love so much?
Oh, I don't know. Because there's so much laughter. I mean, there's so much, obviously, and there's so much arguments and drama, but there's just so, you, the times are at the table. I think I always say this, and they're all laughing together. And as a mum, you step back and think, oh yeah, that, I did good. Doesn't matter where these kids came from, adopted, wherever they are, if you've got that table full of like happy people and they're laughing and they've got, I don't know, they just bring so much joy that I just, I think that's it. I just love them all around. And I think about how it will expand with husbands and children. And I get quite excited about that. I think, you know, that's going to be amazing. It's a real gift.
Say, obviously you've had, you know, five children and they're all very, you know, every child is different. Have you found that your parenting sort of style differs between different children?
So my number one always says, you're so easy on number two, you let her get away with everything. But then number one, you learn everything. Number two, number twos generally tend to be a bit more feisty, so then you have to kind of back down a bit. And, you know, obviously then number three, she's just copying from the other two, so I have to kind of crack down on her. And then number four's a boy, so of course, like we were saying, completely different start. You know, I'm different with him than the girls. And then number five's a little kind of little crazy kid. So I think, yeah, they're all parented differently. Even I try and keep the same morals and thing under the same umbrella sort of thing. But it's really hard. You can't make them all the same. It's impossible.
No.
Yeah. There's a lot of chat about kind of middle child syndrome. We always hear it, don't we? Oh, yeah, well, you know, they're a middle child. And, oh, yeah, a bit tricky because, you know, they're the middle one. And I have a daughter who goes, you know, Luna goes from being top dog in the family to when her sister comes, when Isla comes, she goes from being number one to number two. So we're going through some really interesting behavioural stuff that when Isla's not here, Luna, you know, misses her dreadfully, but feels confident in the fact that she is kind of faster than Kit and she's stronger than Kit and da, da, da. And then when Isla comes, she's got to compete with this older sibling. Do you find a difference between the elder and the youngest? I think you can get away with a lot more, and then the kids in the middle.
Definitely. I mean, even my 18-year-old will say, you know, she sounds so funny because she says, it's not fair, you just care about Buddy more. And I say, but oh my God, you're 18, why do you even care? Why do you care just because I've given him a sweet? It doesn't matter. Just say, he's so kind. There is, and there's always competition between all of them. Like, you just care about him more, you care about her more, you let her do that. And I went out at 9 o'clock, now your curfew's later, and I think, oh, I don't know, I need a book. I can't remember what I did. I just, as time's gone on, I've, you know, also I've got older and I can't be bothered. So I've kind of a bit less lazy parenting. So, you know, just, everything's just changed from when I was 26 to now being 45. So, you know, I can't do the same things I did at 26. So,
I can't believe that you and Jamie have been together since you were 26. Can you please tell us how you met and what that moment was like?
Like, since 18. So, 17, I met him and I thought he was fine, didn't think much. And then suddenly I went to go and watch him play drums. We got invited to this big kind of, we got on a bus and we went to the local thing in Harlow and listened to him play drums. And I thought, my God, he's quite sexy. And then you had that start something off. And I thought, yeah, I've got to have him, got to have him. It was a mission. And then, of course, I got him, obviously. And I was 18. And then we've been together ever since. So we've never broken up or anything. We've just kind of been on this little journey. So it's crazy.
My goodness.
Since you were 18, how did you, you said you met on a bus. Was that through a friend? Did somebody set you up?
No, so he went to an all-boys school. I went to a mixed school and then did my GCSEs, and I did quite well. So I thought, oh, I'll go to my A-levels and I'll go to this boys' school because for obvious reasons. So I went to this boys' school and it was the best 2 years of my life. And then he came back to visit friends because he'd gone to catering college. And that's when as soon as he walked in the room, I went, oh my God, Jamie's here. Oh my God. It was like, you know, the Beatles had arrived. So I thought, I've got to have a bit of this. I've got to see. So I kind of made it my mission and it worked. But he did say, his story is that he'd always liked me, and he was on his bed and his bed's got like a skylight. He'll die that I've told you this. And he used to watch the shooting stars. Maybe when he was like 16. He said, if three shooting stars goes by, I'm going to marry Juliet Norton, which was three shooting stars went by. And 2 years later, we were dating.
Oh my God.
It's so bloody romantic. I'm like, bloody hell, you made me do it. Perhaps I would have gone with someone else. You made me do it. That's it.
That's an incredible story. He is going to cringe when he hears that. That's amazing.
So sweet.
So we'll be back right after this.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Now, let's pick up where we left off with our wonderful guest.
You touched on the fact that you think boys are different, like, you know, to raise. Just talk us through, like, the differences you found, especially with Buddy and the girls.
Oh, I just think, so if you have friends around for lunch or coffee, boys don't really let you, well, I find my boys don't really let me talk. They'd be like, it's either noisy, jumping sofas, more time and accident emergency than necessary, very kind of on, you know, not settled, trampoline to this, to that, to this, and kind of mum. Whereas girls, although girls can be very annoying like that, mum, but they do the, it's horrible to say, but they do the teapots. It's quite classic. They have tea parties, they do drawing. Though I was allowed to take them to cafes and they'd be normal, whereas I could never take Buddy and I'd never take River to like meet friends because it just, I wouldn't get anything, I wouldn't speak. So boys are just very loud and they're boisterous loud and, you know, and they're annoying, but in a lovely way, obviously. They're annoying to the sisters. They, you know, Buddy drives them mad just because he's very loud. That's it.
Somebody asked me the other day how I feel about the girls and how I feel about Kit. And I said, oh, what do you mean? But what do you mean, how do I feel? Well, is the love different? That's what somebody asked me that question. And I thought about it and I said, of course, the love is exactly the same because you love your children. Yeah. You have all this abundance of love for them. But I kind of feel like I'm having a love affair with my son. Yes. And that's a really fucked up thing to say, right? And I don't mean that.
I know what you mean.
It's the weirdest thing for me because it's the only male energy that I have in my life that is not sexual. You look at like, obviously I have friends and that's fine, but then I have my romance, my love with Dozer, but then I have this energy that is completely platonic, but it's weird because it's like I just want to eat him up and like completely engulf him in love. Yeah, and like when he kisses me, I'm like, do you feel the same?
No, though? I do. Do you, Georgia?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I was going to say that. My husband rolls his eyes at how I treat Axel. Like, I would never be like this with anybody else. I kiss his cheeks. I just cuddle him. Know. And sometimes I say to him, oh, Axel, thank you for letting me be your mum. he literally looks at me like, what the hell? I think it's because he tries to avoid me that it makes me like him even more.
Oh, bad boy.
Yeah. He tries to keep me at a distance, and that just makes me want to love him even more.
I'm glad, but this clearly is a thing. Then it's not, because if we all feel the same way, and I know my WhatsApp mums, we all say the same thing, and it is. We it's like mummy's boys. That's how they're developed, because you just want to do everything for them, because you just they're just so lovely boys are, but they are much more cuddly. To be fair, so they're very very affectionate. I don't know when that stops. I'm sure that I've got maybe a year left of that. But, you know, for now, I'm taking everything I can because they don't mind. They haven't got any embarrassment to cuddle you or.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It is lovely.
Do you ever think about the moment that they might meet somebody and how you might feel? Because this is a very real emotion that happens, I think, between mothers and sons that, you know, what's the phrase? Is that you have a daughter for life, but you have a son until they meet his wife or, you know.
Yeah, a daughter's a daughter for life, a son's a son till he gets a wife.
That's not good. I think I'd be a really good mum-in-law. I think I'd be really nice, but, I don't know. But she's got to treat him right or I'm going to have to pull her aside.
I think about it a lot. I do because I don't want to get it wrong. I mean, you do not want to be that mother that is standing there on your son's wedding day and looking at their partner and going...
Yeah, and she senses it too. You want her to love you as well so that she comes for Sunday lunch and doesn't choose to go to the mother's.
Yes. She'll
come to me. I want him with me and I'll be, you know, if he doesn't join me at Christmas, I'll feel really peed off about that.
Well, you know, it's got a bit of year on, year off, Jules. You can't have them all.
I know. Unless we invite their family. Yeah, that's what we'll do.
We all sound like absolute nutters.
Oh, God, do we?
Do you know what? No, we don't. I mean, it's obviously clearly normal if we all feel exactly
the
same.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
I was reading earlier just about, you know, raising boys and raising girls. And there was some research that showed that if you live in a house where the mum and the dad do equal chores, so they do, you know, what, you know, the cooking and cleaning is sort of is shared between them, then the boys grow up to do that with their partners going forward. Would you say it's like that in your house, or is it a bit unbalanced?
In my house? Oh, no, I think Buddy's got a very good view, because Jamie, this is going to sound so cheesy. No, I can't get, not worships me when he's there, but he'll do everything for me. So Buddy, and he goes, watch me, son. This is what you're going to do for your wife. He actually says it. So you'll make her a cappuccino, you will massage her feet. I think it's just to shut me up. I think it's literally, if you want a happy life, that's so corny, but, you know, just keep her happy. And it's actually quite true, because it does make me feel really happy. And I think, and Buddy always goes, Mum, do you want a coffee? You know, he does what he does. And I think it's just by leading by what Jamie does.
That's amazing.
Hopefully he'll keep it up.
And Buddy's become something of a bit of a kind of Instagram star at the moment. Talk to us about all of the cooking that he's doing on Instagram. He's just like his dad.
I know. He just does, whenever he's got a free moment, Jamie will just kind of, we've got little setups in our house in Essex where they can cook outside, and he'll just go, okay, I'll do it. It's not like he says, can we do it? He'll just go, yeah, sure. It's just the way he is. Yeah. It's very easy anyway. So they just do it, and then it's done. And then, I mean, the other day someone said their daughter was in love with him. So I said to Buddy, look at this. So let's go look at her Instagram. I went, ooh, she's 10. Yeah, she's lovely. And he went so ready. He went, oh my God, I don't know what to do. I said, I'm going to call you. I just said, you're kind of hot property for the girls. And he was, oh, he was dying. So I think he's kind of slightly understanding, but luckily he hasn't got a phone or anything. So he doesn't really keep track of how popular he might be.
Is that something that you're pushing, or are you just kind of supporting his decisions on that? Or would you like him to follow in his dad's footsteps?
Well, I don't, he wants to be a rugby player. So I don't know. Jamie would love, I mean, you know, you would, Jamie would love him to do it. But I've spoke to Buddy before in the car, and he says, I kind of like it, but I mean, I don't know if I love it. I think I want to do rugby. So you just leave it. If he feels like doing it, and he feels like doing it, Petal will get involved. He feels like he'll do it with River. And if he doesn't feel like it, he just won't do it. So, and they don't always come up. So sometimes he'll just won't do it for a couple of months. And then sometimes, you know, he'll do three or four in a row.
Yeah. So, and are the girls interested in cooking, or is it just
no, just no. him? No, really, it's just him. He's the only one that can, he's quite competent, so he can chop and he does River's breakfasts. He's really kind of, he's really bloody helpful. So when, and he hasn't been here, he's been with Jamie filming in Essex, and I've been up here with the girls while they finish school, and I've lost the nanny. I've lost my male Manny, because he gets River up, he puts Peppa Pig on, then he does breakfast while I maybe do a exercise class, or this is like 6:30 in the morning. And then, you know, he kind of keeps him safe while I come down, and it's amazing. So without him, I haven't been able to do anything.
Wow, he sounds like a really sorted 10-year-old. I love that.
Can he come to my house?
Yeah.
He might, but I'm saying, Georgia, give him the hormones. Yeah, but he might change with the hormones, and he'll start, you know, but you never know. I've seen hormones change people in this house, and it's frightening. So I'm not going to get confident about it.
You're talking about those three teenage girls that you've got, are you?
One 11-year-old, and then the rest are teenagers.
Now, let's talk about your relationship with River. And you kind of touched on the fact that, you know, he's wearing dresses every day, and that he's a little boy, but he's kind of, I mean, how would you kind of describe this moment that he's going through in his life?
I don't know. I mean, everyone keeps saying to me, it's just a phase. And I'm kind of, I just want to get it right for him, because I don't want him, it's so hard because, you know, I want to go out. I don't actually care if he wears a dress. It doesn't bother me. But of course, I think, well, what if in later years when he's 6 or 7 and then people take the mickey out of him? So it's hard. So we have this little, I feel so bad. It's like, not today, you're going to wear trousers. And his face drops. And I think, oh no, okay, no, you can put a dress over the trousers. So we've got, I think we are dangerously close. We're just very, very, he sleeps with us, which I don't like, but he just does.
Is he co-sleeping?
Oh, I don't know about, like you, I've heard you say, I hate co-sleeping, but he's the only child that just does not let go. He's a limpet stuck to me day in, day out. So I think, and he's very, very affectionate and cuddly and very warm. So I think, well, so kind of, he's a bit like my best mate, but equally he drives me insane. So you need to have breaks from him, because he's just he's like a full-on child. And I think being the fifth one, you know, he's the noisiest one, and they're all kind of bow down to his every whim, and that's why he just gets what he wants. So it's a difficult situation with the last child, or the, you know, that kind of fifth or third child.
Yeah. You know. I remember when you came on before, you mentioned how much you loved a routine and you know, like you sort of had followed quite a strict routine. So when did you go from that to then now co-sleeping? Was it always like that with River, or has it changed?
No, he was an absolute Gina Ford dream. He was, all five of my children have been flipping brilliant at that. But then, and I think I said to you once, you were talking about it, and I said, oh, just make sure the room's all black. And I was all, oh, look at me, I've got this amazing child. Then he climbed out of his cot, and then that was it. He just kind of fell out one morning. I was like, oh, never mind, back in again. And then he didn't stop. So I laid on the floor. I tried everything and everyone. We've had so many sleep nannies around here. And then I just thought, oh, you know, well, it's not going to last forever. So just come. He comes in, he slips in nicely. He doesn't make too much of a fuss. But I would prefer it. I mean, it's hard on relationship. You can't, you know, he actually gets in the way of me cuddling Jamie, and it's kind of, you know, it's annoying, but it is quite special. And, you know, me and Jamie don't mind.
You have to weigh up yeah. what it's going to do to them for what it's going to do to you guys. Yes. I guess you guys have been together for such a long time. I somebody asked me the other day what I thought the secret was to keeping that connection alive between the two of you. And I said, if you can reach over to your partner and do skin on skin in the morning before you, just a cuddle and a kiss, and just make sure that that's the first person that you connect with, and you put your kids second in that moment. So even if they're co-sleeping with you, to give them a kiss and say good morning, it sets you up for the day. But the co-sleeping thing, some people are really either really into it, or they absolutely don't want it. So it's just
you know, also because he sleeps right, he has to be on me practically. It's, you know, it's uncomfortable. My neck hurts. My body's not really the same because it's just not that comfortable. I just don't know how people love it. I know why they love it, because it's that lovely cozy sleep and all that. But I don't know.
I always think, how can a little person take up that much room?
I know, they do the splits. They've got the most, and he does it naked as well. So you've got this like long, it's very hot as well. It's very hot, and I can feel things in my back. I think, oh God, thank God that's you.
not Jamie saying good morning.
Or good night. I think I'm asleep. Don't bother. And there's just a person behind me.
It is tricky though, and I think it's one of those things that you don't want, or maybe you do want, but some people definitely don't. It's a 7 or 8 year old in your bed that can't sleep on their own. So you have to get to that point where you go, right, how are we going to get our space back? But then what do they need? I definitely think that some children need more than others. They're not completely. At night. He's obviously not settled at night for some reason.
I don't know. I'm still on the thing. I keep saying to him, don't worry, I'm going to sort it. I'm going to totally go cold turkey. And then, of course, you come to the end of the evening, you think, oh, no, I'm not. I'm going to put him to bed. I'm not going to worry about it. So I mean, Buddy used to do it every night, but then there was a point you say to Buddy, right, no more. He goes, okay, because he's 9. He just knows that's a no. Yeah. I just hope the river's not going to fight me at 9. I'm just going to go, okay, Mum, I don't know. Yeah. We'll have to wait and see.
Another 5 years of doing it.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Do yours do it? Sorry, that's how bad it is.
I wish they would. No, there's no judgment here. I wish they would. Like, I the other night, Kit was really sick in the night, and I was like, oh, I'll just bring him in. He'd had a pizza and he can't have cheese. And I was like, oh, Dozzle wasn't there. He was at the pub, first night in the pub. That's another story. And I thought, oh, he'll just sleep next to me. And he just giggled and laughed but for 4 hours. He just will not. They're not used to it. And I'm sure you're the same.
Yes.
Aren't you? It's like they're not used to it. They don't do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, so for ages, Axel would never sleep in bed with us. And then we had one holiday where we were all obviously sharing a hotel room, and his cot was quite close to us, and he hated it. So then he started sleeping in our bed on the holiday, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Did he go back, Georgia, or did he? Because I would worry.
But as soon as we got home, I thought, oh, this is great. You know, sometimes when James is away or whatever, he can jump in with me again. But no, absolutely not. He was back in his own room and didn't want to. And Gigi has never slept in our bed, and I don't think she would. Like, I don't actually think she would. And it a little bit worries me, because sometimes it's easy, you know, like if you go and stay at somebody's house,
you haven't
got to take something with you, or, you know, you go to a hotel just for a night. Just not having to take something or ask them to provide something can be easy.
It's almost a balance, isn't it? It's a bit of one of the other. It's almost like it's not that bad now, or it's going to, I don't know, it's kind of evens out.
Yeah, I just think sleep is just so complicated.
Yeah.
If you could just say to them, just sleep.
I know.
Just sleep.
Like, just wake up. I don't mind. I'll take 6:30.
Yeah,
but you know, River does 5:30 and goes, is it morning yet? And I think, oh, shut up. slightly nothing. I can't wait till winter only so we have dark mornings. I mean, it's terrible to wish away summer, but I just wanted to be, I just can't, it's just so bloody, I get so tired way too early on at nighttime, and that's robbing me of my life.
Jules, we all feel the same way, and you are not the only one. When I put it out on our socials, hundreds of messages coming in from people going, I have a child that wakes up between 4:30 and 5:30. It's relentless, morning after morning after morning, and people are like, can you share any tips? And I'm like, you just have to go to sleep at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. And it
you have to change your life, don't you?
Yeah.
I think, like you probably, Jules, we've spoken to so many sleep experts and there's so many techniques for early risers. But I think we've sort of resigned ourselves to the fact, haven't we, Zoe, that some kids just like waking up early and there isn't really a lot that you can do about it.
Yeah. And you just have to ride it out because it just does, like, you know, my teenagers don't get up. So it's just, it does just take a turn. Even my 11-year-old struggles to get up. So I just think, no, hold on, won't take long. Okay, a few years, but it does change. And that is just the way it is. But I mean, I'm sure sleep experts, if they could come around your house and do it for you, and I could take a holiday, I'd love that. But it doesn't really work like that. You have to do it with them, and I just don't want to do that.
So. What age does it get better, Jules? Because you've obviously got the older kids now. Just tell us, when does it end?
Oh, it's just all really quite bad. I haven't seen the ending yet. I suppose I think it's. I don't know. Zoe, sorry.
What, 11, 12?
I reckon about 9. Buddy's age is good because they're still very loving, but also, you know, I think when you reach 12, 13, you do take that. That's when you start a whole new chapter, which can be exciting and kind of horrendous all at once. But you probably get about 2-3 years of lovely times and then it goes bad again.
Oh my goodness.
It's like the thing with parenting, isn't it? And we said this the other day that you're never not going to be a parent. And of course, we don't want to be.
No.
It's the best thing that you could ever do with your life, as far as I'm concerned. But it's also the one that brings up the most challenges within you as a person, I believe. And also within your relationship and how you feel about life and everything that you used to know and all these things coming up daily. Some days are great and some days are horrendous.
Completely. Yeah. I just don't know what I'm doing with teenagers. I even said to look, I don't know if I'm doing it right. I don't know if you should come back at 11. Is that right? Look, I'm just learning. And then I start flipping out and they look at me and say, oh, whatever. But it's so, because no one knows. I couldn't give you advice. You could, you know, no one knows how it just has to go naturally, doesn't it? You just have to do it and just go through it. I just don't want to get it wrong. I want them to be really good kids. That's all the main aim is. So I don't know. It's really hard.
Are you close to your girls, Jules? Do you feel like you have a good relationship with them?
Yeah, really. Sometimes I think it'll be too close that they reveal things. I think, oh, no. And it does make me laugh. I mean, it's like having your best friends with you. But they've got so used to me being open. And also Jamie hasn't been around a lot. So we're able to talk much more freely about girl stuff. So, we're very, really close. But then also that can bring some furious arguments, especially number two, you know.
And how do you feel about the girls on social media?
Oh, well, I don't like it, but you know, I can't control Snapchat because I don't know how it works. If I did, I would, but you can't. Well, I can't control an 18-year-old anyway. But you know, if they put up a picture, what Jamie does now is just embarrass them. So they'll put a picture of, you know, I don't know, a duck face in a mirror or something with maybe something like a low cut top. And Jamie just go, and then the caption's something like, you know, light and breezy or shade and dark, something really, I won't say the word, but twatish. So then Jamie will write something really funny underneath, then I'll join in, and then she takes it down because we've embarrassed her to the max. But you can't say take it down now. It's too, you know, it's too much. They've got their own minds, but I don't particularly like it. But, you know, there could be worse out there, I suppose.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It's hard to get that right, isn't it? That relationship between social media so that they know that it is what it is and it can be there. Yeah. And it can be fun and they can kind of find a skill with photography and sharing bits and pieces of their life, but they've just got to be really careful because there is that dark side to it that, you know, it hasn't been around long enough for us to really know what the impacts and effects are, but you can see kind of day to day what it does to kids. And I do worry about it for my kids as well. I do think, we didn't grow up, did we? We were kind of out.
I think our age group of all our children have got it. I'm really scared for my 11-year-old because I think, you know, Poppy and Daisy just scraped that bit. They just scraped the kind of the hype and now they're in it. They're 18 and they're capable and they're also private. Yeah. They're not public yet, which is really good. But I just really worry about, I just think Petal will be different. I think she'll grow up much quicker than she should have, really, than she will do. I just think social media, I hate it so much. I just hate it. But we have to have it and there's nothing to stop it, is there? You can't. TikTok, all that stuff, I can't stand.
Yeah. Are you not going to get on the TikTok with the whole family?
No, I quite enjoy it. No, Daisy does it. While I'm doing washing up, she'll do you know, she'll start gyrating, and then I assume it's for a reaction. I don't know what she, mum, just look annoyed. And I think, well, I am quite annoyed because you're not helping me. She's a TikTok queen. There's always one person in the house that's a TikTok queen, but I'd never, it's not my thing. It's just, I don't even do stories because I can't work out how to put the stories up.
Oh, we love you. You're more of a face-to-face person than a technical person anyway, and that's why you're so special. And so kind of just wrapping things up, because we could chat to you all day, talk to us about your children's wear range and what's happening there.
So unfortunately, poor old Mothercare folded, so that was a shame, and then we had a bit of a break, but I kind of, as soon as it folded, we were kind of on to the next thing. I was not going to give it up, you know. I didn't want to give Little Bird up, because I really believe in it, and I was quite excited actually to maybe start something fresh. So we're kind of building our new collection, and then hopefully we can reveal all and where and how, and soon maybe get me on again.
Oh yes, absolutely. Yes. And what is the best piece of advice you've ever been given or you would give to a new parent?
I was asked this the other day. I did another podcast the other day, and I think the only thing, dishing out advice is hard. I just think, I always think whenever things are really bad, I just think, okay, the minutes are going by. Either he will be in bed or she will be in bed. I'll be having my dinner. Tomorrow's another day. The bad times always really pass. So just kind of, you know, I just think when things are really bad, just think deep breath, because it's not going to last forever. Whatever we're going through now won't last forever, and it will get better, or you'll sort it out. But because otherwise every day you just think, oh my God, please just let dinner be over. And it is. And before you know it, you're having a cappuccino or you're sitting outside with a glass of wine, and it's good.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Appreciate the small things, I suppose, and don't worry about the things, because the time on the clock is ticking and it's going to pass.
Yeah, that's good advice, actually. Love that. Thank you so much for coming back on. We absolutely loved it. And please come on again. Come on again when you can talk to us about what's going on with the kids' wear stuff.
I will.
Yes,
thank you so much.
And we're determined to pin you and Jamie down together as well. We're doing that.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know. Sorry about last time, but yeah, he'd be really good actually. We'd probably he'd be quite good on this. He'd have lots of different advice, especially about teenagers.
Yeah, we might.
We'd love that. We'd love to chat about teenagers.
He swears royally. So Zoe, when I watch your stories, I have to turn you down sometimes because I can predict what mood you might be in. And the F word comes out. I go, hang on a minute, Petal. But I love it because it really makes me laugh. I think, oh, thank God, she's going to swear great. I'll just turn her down though.
I'm sorry.
Especially on the way to work when it's raining and you're on the way to heart. I think I'll just turn her down.
You know what's coming. It's either going to be a story about somebody being sick, peeing.
Yes. Same deal with alcohol. It's always the same. I love it. And then George is always about food, so I'll turn her up because she doesn't really swear, but she talks about good food. So two of you, it's freaking entertaining.
I don't really swear, actually.
That's why we work so well.
Yeah, you do. You work absolutely brilliantly. I love it.
Thank you, Jules.
Thanks, Jules.
Oh, wow. She is amazing, isn't she? What a lovely person.
I know. Do you know what's so nice about getting people back on the podcast as well? Is it feels like we're just having a chat amongst mates. Yeah. You know, we sort of had the first chat and we've you know, gone through things like in a, you know, more planned out way. And then yesterday's chat just felt like we were having a coffee and a natter, really, and going through our lives. It was lovely.
Yeah, agree, completely agree. And I love the fact that she was kind of hiding on the floor. Was she in a wardrobe or in like in an office somewhere on the floor? She's like, I'm just hiding out here. I was like, that vision of Jill Walter sitting on the floor in one of the rooms in her house just away from her kids was brilliant.
I know. And I bet she really has to hide because there's a lot of them to hide from. Can you imagine? I find it hard enough hiding from two, let alone five.
I thought she was really open as well to talk about her miscarriages. You know, she's had a really, really tough time recently.
Yeah, I think
she come out and share that with us was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, she said she had a miscarriage 3 weeks ago. I mean, I've never been through that. I don't think you have, though. But I just, to be able to talk so openly about it, and I know it's happened before, but you know, every experience is probably different, I'm guessing. But I just, yeah, I mean, it's amazing how she can, you know, talk so openly about it. But I guess the more we do talk about it, and we always say this, certainly you're made by mamas, like the more we hear about these things and the more you know other people are going through it, as awful as it is, I think a lot of people can find comfort in that.
Yes,
especially when she's, you know, got five healthy children, you can still, you know, who's to say she doesn't want eight, or, you know, who's to say she can't have eight? Even all these miscarriages are still, you know, so traumatic.
And it's a pain to go through. A real,
yeah.
Like, as in not, oh, it's a pain. It's a, like, it's a pain in your heart. It's a,
yeah.
It's losing a child. It's like, exactly. It doesn't get any easier. I think, and I think you could tell that slightly in her voice when she was saying it. She was kind of like, oh, I just keep telling myself that this one's not going to stick and this one's not going to stick. And it's like, that must be really hard for her to have to keep going. And obviously people will say, oh, wait, you've got five happy, healthy children.
Exactly. Like, well,
you know, she wants to have another one. So
yeah,
all of our fingers and toes and everything else crossed for her.
Yeah, absolutely, exactly.
And we are going to be doing our Friday podcast, obviously coming later on in the week, where we're going to be just chatting Georgia and I. So we're not going to do products today, but expect them heading your way on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Always, you can rate, review and subscribe to the podcast.
And please do drop us a message at Made by Mummers or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman. And do keep sharing how you're listening to the podcast, whether you're out running or you might even be commuting now, which is exciting. Or, you know, whatever you're doing, walking with the baby, just let us know.
And also, you can just keep going back into the library of podcasts that we've got. We mentioned that we'd obviously had Jules on before, but that first series that we did, we had Alex Jones on, we had Erin McNaught on, we spoke to Vogue Williams, and she was, I think she just had Theodore at the time.
She had. He was only a few weeks old. Isn't that mad?
And now she's literally about to pop with her second, because she's obviously before me. She does Heart Breakfast on a Sunday, so we chat loads. So we're going to try and get her back on the podcast. And if you want us to chat to anybody as well, we wanted to say this, then please reach out to us on our Instagram and just send any suggestions over. We'd love to hear them.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll see you on Friday.
See you then.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.